walks in, holds up both hands showing all 10 fingers. Perfect 10. You know what's funny about 10s? We think 10 is special because we have 10 fingers. But there's nothing mathematically sacred about 10. Base 12 would actually be more convenient, more divisors. We're stuck with decimal because we're stuck with these hands. We're biased by our own biology. Which, as it happens, is today's topic. Sets down coffee, looks at the class seriously. We've arrived. For weeks, we've been building toward this. Memory. Error correction. Stability. All the pieces are in place. Now we talk about the thing that changes everything. Replication. Leans on the podium. Let me start by correcting a misconception you didn't know you had. Replication is not duplication. When you hear a copy, you probably think, make an identical thing. Xerox machine. Control C, Control V, perfect reproduction. That's not what replication is. That's not how it works. And if it did work that way, it would fail immediately. Exact duplication requires precision everywhere. Every detail has to match. One mistake, one deviation, and you failed. That's brittle. That's fragile. That doesn't survive. Replication is looser. What gets copied isn't the object. It's the pattern. The constraints. The way of doing things. Starts pacing. Let me make this concrete. Think about a recipe. When you replicate a recipe, you're not trying to produce a dish with the exact same number of molecules arranged in exactly the same positions. That would be insane. And impossible. You're copying a pattern of constraints. Use this much flour. Cook at this temperature. Stir until it looks like this. The details vary every time. No two loaves of bread are identical. But the organization persists. The recipe, the pattern of constraints that produces bread-like outcomes, that's what gets replicated. Replication copies the rules, not the results. Stops at the window. Now, here's a crucial point. Before error correction exists, replication is impossible. Think about why. Copying is a physical process. It involves noise, imprecision, delay, all the usual suspects. Errors happen during copying, just like they happen everywhere else. If you don't have error correction, those copying errors accumulate. First generation, a few errors. Second generation, those errors plus new errors. Third generation, worse. Fourth, worse still. Within a few generations, the copies are garbage. The signal is drowned in noise. The pattern is lost. Replication without error correction is like playing telephone with 100 people and no one is allowed to ask, "Wait, what did you say?" The message degrades until it's meaningless. Turns back to the class. But once error correction exists, once systems can detect and fix their own deviations, suddenly copying becomes viable. Errors still happen during replication. But they get caught. They get fixed. The copy is close enough to the original that it can function. The pattern survives the copying process. This is why replication appears suddenly. It's not a gradual improvement. It's a phase transition. A threshold you cross. Below the threshold, copying always degrades, replication is impossible. Above the threshold, copying can be faithful enough, replication works. Error correction is the gate. Once it's open, replication floods through. Sits on the desk, leans forward. Now here's the central insight of this chapter. The thing I want you to really get. Replication recycles constraints instead of rebuilding them. Think about what stability costs. We've talked about this for weeks. To create a stable organization, you need scaffolds. Temporary supports. Careful assembly. Error correction mechanisms. All of that takes resources. Energy. Time. Lucky circumstances. Building stability from scratch is hard. Often it's impossible. The chances of all the right conditions coming together are vanishingly small. But if you already have a stable pattern and you can copy it, now you're not building from scratch. You're recycling. You're taking something that already works and making more of it. The cost drops dramatically. The difficulty drops dramatically. Instead of needing a miracle of assembly every time, you need only a functional copying process. Replication is a shortcut, a hack, a way to spread stability without paying the full cost of creating it each time. Stands up, energy building. Let me give you an analogy. Imagine you're trying to build a working clock from scratch. You need to understand gears, springs, escapements. You need to machine parts with precision. You need to assemble them correctly. It's hard. It takes expertise. Most attempts fail. Now imagine instead that you have a working clock and you have a way to make copies of it. You don't need to understand how it works. You just need the copying process to be faithful enough. Suddenly, making clocks is easy. You're not building, you're replicating. You're recycling the constraints that make the clock work, rather than figuring them out fresh each time. That's what biological replication does. DNA isn't a blueprint that has to be interpreted from scratch. It's a pattern that copies itself, carrying the constraints that make the organism work into the next generation. Constraint recycling. That's the secret. Paces thoughtfully. Now, here's something that might seem like a flaw but is actually essential. Copies are never perfect. There's always noise. Always imprecision. Always variation. And that's not a bug. That's a feature. Think about what would happen if copies were perfect. Every copy identical to the original. No variation whatsoever. That would be brittle. The whole lineage would be vulnerable to exactly the same failures. One thing that kills the original would kill every copy. But with variation, the copies aren't identical. Some are slightly different in ways that don't matter. Some are slightly different in ways that turn out to help. Some are different in ways that hurt. The variation creates a spread. A population that isn't all in exactly the same position. A hedge against catastrophic failure. Replication survives not despite imperfect copying, but because of it. Stops, makes eye contact with the class. Now I have to head off a misunderstanding. Variation is often described as exploration. Or experimentation. Like the system is trying different things to see what works. That's completely wrong. Variation isn't purposeful. It's just what happens when copying is imperfect. No one is exploring. No one is experimenting. The copying machinery is just noisy. Errors happen. Differences arise. Some differences destabilize the organization. Those copies don't persist. Some differences don't destabilize it. Those copies might persist. No evaluation is required. No comparison is necessary. No one is checking which variation is better. The filter just operates. Unstable things vanish. Stable things remain. The variation is raw material for elimination, not purposeful search. Walks back to the podium. Here's where something new appears. Before replication, elimination operated on individual structures. One organization either persisted or it didn't. After replication, elimination operates across instances. There are many copies. Each one either persists or doesn't, independently. This looks like competition. It really, really looks like competition. These copies are competing for resources. The fittest survive. Nature selects the best. But that language smuggles in purpose. Here's what's actually happening. Instances fail when they can't maintain coherence. They fail on their own terms. Not because another copy beat them. Not because they were compared and found wanting. They just couldn't hold together. If one copy persists and another doesn't, it's not because they competed. It's because one satisfied the consistency requirements and one didn't. Survivors aren't winners. They're just the ones that didn't collapse. Sits back down. Now something interesting happens to memory. We've talked about memory as information that persists and biases future behavior. Memory within a single system. A cell remembering its history. A brain holding patterns. But when replication exists, memory can do something new. It can cross instantiation. The parent's memory, encoded in constraints, built into structure, gets copied into the offspring. The offspring doesn't have to learn from scratch. It inherits what the parent's lineage figured out. That's heredity. Heredity is memory that can jump from one instance to another. Not every detail is inherited. Only what survives the copying process. Only what makes it through the bottleneck of replication plus error correction. But what does make it through? That's now available to the next generation. And the next. And the next. Memory becomes cumulative across generations. That's new. That changes everything. Pauses, look serious. Here's something important. Replication narrows possibility. Each generation, unstable variants get eliminated. The ones that couldn't maintain coherence disappear. What's left is the subset that could. Next generation, same thing. The pool of viable patterns shrinks. The space of possible organizations contracts. This looks like progress. It looks like improvement. Like things are getting better. But it's not progress. It's restriction. The survivors aren't better in any absolute sense. They're just the ones whose constraints held. They're what's left after elimination, not what was selected for excellence. And the restriction is permanent. Possibilities that got eliminated don't come back. Paths that closed stay closed. Replication trades freedom for endurance. It gives up options in exchange for persistence. That's not progress. That's commitment. Stands up. I want to be very clear about something because it's easy to get confused here. Replication does not aim at improvement. What it produces is survivorship bias. We look at living things and they seem adapted. Fitted to their environments. Like they were designed for their niches. But they weren't designed. They weren't aimed at anything. What happened is, things that didn't fit their circumstances collapsed. Things that did fit, or fit well enough, persisted. We only see the survivors. The graveyard of the unfit is invisible. The appearance of adaptation is real. The intentionality behind it is not. No foresight is involved. No planning. No optimization. Just the relentless filter, can you maintain coherence while being copied? If yes, you might still be here. If no, you're not around to discuss it. Paces one more time. We're about to cross into a new regime. Before replication, the question was, can this structure survive? After replication, there's an additional question, can this structure survive while being copied? Those aren't the same question. Some things are stable in isolation but can't be faithfully replicated. Their stability doesn't transfer. Some things are less stable individually but replicate robustly. They persist as a lineage even if individual instances are fragile. This new pressure, survival through replication, reshapes everything. It favors structures that copy well. Structures that can propagate their constraints. Structures whose stability is transmissible. And that leads somewhere. It leads to layers of organization. To specialization. To division of labor. Eventually, and this is many chapters away, to cognition. But we're not there yet. We're at the threshold. We've just crossed into the regime where replication works. From here, things get complicated. Fast. Gathers notes. The closing line from your reading is quietly profound. Replication survives because rebuilding stability from scratch is usually impossible. That's the whole insight in one sentence. Stability is rare. Stability is precious. Stability is hard to create. But if you can copy stability, if you can recycle the constraints that make something work, then you don't need miracles of assembly. You just need faithful copying. That's the trick that life discovered. Not how to build stability. How to copy it. And once you can copy stability, you can spread it. You can fill environments with it. You can iterate on it. You can build on top of it. Replication is constraint recycling. And constraint recycling is the closest thing to a free lunch that the universe offers. Heads for the door. Perfect 10. 10 fingers. 10 arbitrary digits. But you know what? Those 10 fingers that biased us toward decimal counting? They're here because they got copied. Generation after generation. Millions of years of replication. They're not optimal. They're not designed. They're just what survived the copying process. And that's true of everything about you. Every structure. Every pattern. Every capability. You're not designed. You're replicated. You're what happens when constraint recycling runs for 4 billion years. Pretty good for an accident. See you next week.